Well, I joined the college in October 1951 as a research assistant. I was hired to start a new line of experimental work in Robert Boyd's plasma physics group. This was on the basis of, presumably, some sort of comment from Robert Ditchburn, my professor at Reading, and a long interview with Massey and Bates. So they knew the right sort of person to hire, which was wonderful, of course. Anyway, I was put in the huts, as most people were at that time, but some people were in the huts, some in foster court, some I never really found out. And so trans-discipline, trans-field contacts were not as easy as they became when we moved to the new building a couple of years later. There I found myself in a fortunate position because I had a room in the basement, became Charles Lane's glass-blowing empire later on, just across the corridor from the big lab where were to be built the microtons. Now, we all know that the things you are taught as an undergraduate, especially a third-year undergraduate, may have some relation to a syllabus, but may depend on the whim of your lecturer. And so I remember having two or three lectures on beta-trons and microtrons. You know, quite unbalanced bit of the course. Nonetheless, there were those. I'd never actually seen one. So, you know, it was nice to see and nice to know that there was Franz, who knew all about these and would talk to me and, you know, I could talk to him. Well, he could talk to me pretty clearly. What I knew was good old textbook stuff, but when you come to doing it, you've got to extract the beam, you've got to focus the beam to get something well characterized, and so on and so forth. These were the things, of course, he was involved with in the microtrons. I was also involved in designing lenses to produce well characterized beams, but mine were EV and his were NEV energies, and they're not quite the same. And there wasn't in those days a nice, simple, practical book which would help you to design lens systems. Well, Franz and I met, you know, we'd meet in the corridor, we'd meet over coffee and so on. But he moved on. By the time, and when we first met, it never crossed my mind that in 10 years I'd be doing an experiment using the small microtron. By that time, Franz had moved on to higher things, or higher energy things anyway, and we saw less of him then. I left the college in 1965. I went to York, and I don't wish I hadn't come back, but I so enjoyed the Dales that it was a bit of a struggle to come back, but I did. In the meantime, while I was in York, I would come down occasionally, and it nearly always seemed to coincide with a meeting of the Professor's Dining Club, where one would meet Franz, and you would chat about the state of physics, what you were doing, what he was doing. And every time he produced an example of the innovative, the lateral thinking that he seemed to be so good at. Then eventually I left York, came back to the London area, and found that having a chair doesn't mean that you can sit down. So when I was invited by the roundabout way that probably Franz to initiate it to be visiting examiner in the department, I was very happy to accept. And Franz by then was head of the department. And this is an aspect that nobody's touched on examining yet, but he was a brilliant organizer of the sub-board. The paperwork was in very good nick. You saw the candidates, you interviewed them, and you were allowed to get on with interviewing them without having your elbow jogged by an intern examiner who thought you were wandering too far off a topic. I've examined in lots of places, and my memory of examining here from the 3 or 4 years I did is, I won't say blank, but I have no striking details to remember because it all worked so smoothly. Again, Francis and I, you know, before and after and over lunch would chat, but now our chat was not about our fields of physics, but rather, how can you run a physics department when you've got the college bureaucracy breathing down your neck? Well, you've heard from Fred how he dealt with the college bureaucracy, and I applauded him for it. He took care of his examiners. He liked to see us feeling happy, and he would, after the examiners' meeting, he would take us to lunch. Usually it was to the Whistler Room, another of the four rooms in college. Always an extremely pleasant lunch. Come back and have a little sit down and chat, and then when you felt able, you could go. But the last time I was examining here, the France, a couple of the internal examiners, I think, and the three externals, braved the crossing of Gower Street and Tottenham Court Road and went to Il Pescatore in Charlotte Street. That was quite real. Apart from the fact it was a delicious meal, I also have to remember how much it cost. Now, you see, 25 years ago, and everything cost far cheaper than it is now, but I recall that this lunch for five or six people was £300. And I recall also that Franz reached into his pocket and pulled out a handful of used notes to pay it. He was a, as I say, I never worked with him, except, of course, as an examiner. But he was a delight to know, and always could produce something which showed that his thinking was very much outside the box. He would pick up things, he would spot a new development in something, a development in integrated circuits. So you see, there's a way I could use that, and he would pick it up. I never saw him after he retired. I wish I had. I was in York at the wrong time, so close to where he retired. And now, when he retired, I was down in the London area. I miss him. Never working with him, I had no tight connection with him, but he was always ready to chat about science, about anything. He was a great man. Well, we are right.